Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
What is up, sports fans?
Oh,
I love it. What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Schultzy in for Dusty. Happy to be a friend on the latest
Thank
edition.
You for being a friend.
Right, Danny and friends here on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. What's going on, guys? Good to see you. Good to be in. It's a beautiful day outside. Like, it's an allergy-killing beautiful day, but, like, I know you've been suffering all week with the allergies, Danny.
What are we supposed to get through today? 82?
And then, like, 90 this weekend?
Yeah, back-to-back 90s Sunday and Monday.
Which is good early morning golfing weather,
yeah.
I must say that.
I went to the driving range last night, and I realized how washed I am from the heat.
You can't be out in it too long?
Or? No, I was working on my driver yesterday. It was a driver day. And when you get a large bucket, you get anywhere between like 115, 125 balls. That's a lot of swings on a driver. And so I'm getting there. I'm probably like 3/4 of the way through the bucket. And I'm like, whew, man, I'm sweating. I look down at my glove and yeah. It's just a sopping wet mess. And I'm like, my California ancestors would be ashamed of me right now. It's a whopping 80 degrees, and I am just drenching in sweat. And I was like, oh, my God, how the hell am I going to play golf on Sunday when it's 90 degrees? But I'm going to do it. So
do it.
Yeah, at some point during the show today, I will be booking a tee time. So if we come back from a break and I'm staring at my monitor, it's because I'm trying to lock in my tee time. I'm looking at either I've never played Heron Lakes, which is just down the street here from the studio. Well, not just down the street, but
okay,
closer to me than Newburgh. It's either that or I'm just going to go, screw it, I'm going to play in my backyard and go play Shehalem. So
ease of access is definitely, it's a factor, especially on the weekends, I feel like.
Right? On the weekends, it's actually easier for me because, you know, I don't have to deal with as much traffic.
All right. I
get over to the east side. I play with my co-host on the TV side, Joe Simons.
Yeah. Used to work with Joe, actually.
There you go. Yeah. Over at another place.
Over at another evil empire, yes.
I played, Eastmoreland, Glendevere, a couple others that are over there, because those aren't my neck of the woods. And so it's like, even though I've been quote-unquote playing for like a decade, I haven't really gone that many places. And so I'm trying to play more courses and kind of expand the game. And yeah. It doesn't have to be like, I don't have to go to like Pumpkin Ridge, you know, you don't have to go to the nicest places. Like, I want to go check out the hole in the walls. I want to go play, you know, a crappy course here or there for $25 or a really nice course for $26 at Charbonneau. You know,
hell
it's
yeah.
Like, even though it's a short-lived executive, that place is incredibly well-kept.
I live in Wilsonville. I love it. Yeah. That's where I've been at the driving range mm-hmm. the past couple of weeks. It's amazing.
Yeah, no. So I'm hoping I can hit pretty much the goal is basically by the end of the season to hit most of the metro area courses.
Okay.
So, because by the end of the summer, I'm hoping to have played probably like 55, 60 times rounds.
Damn. Man, I'm like 5 or 6 or 7 years behind you in this whole golf journey, mm-hmm. where like I am just this summer getting into, like, I'm going to go buy my first set of golf clubs here probably in the next couple of months. I've been just salivating over that. It's that Callaway set at Costco for what, $550
bucks. It's great set to start with. I bought my clubs. The clubs I play with are like the last generation Pings. They're i5s, I think is what they call them, or G5s.
See, that's all be over my
head. It's just a model, but they're really nice clubs. They're 10 years old, and probably after this season, I will probably go get another set of clubs, just to catch up with the technology and stuff like that. But this is really my first year of like really, really playing consistently. I've already played 9 or 10 rounds this year. I've been to the driving range probably about 15 times. This is all in the past 60 days. So
damn, I've only gone 3. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, no, I bought the big, the 20 bucket punch card for the driving range.
Oh, so you're ready.
I've already invested in it. Like, I just, and again, it's a mile. Shalem's a mile from my house. So I just pop over there and, you know, get on the range there. And one of these days, I'm actually going to play before the show, which would require me getting up early, which would require me going to bed early.
I got
to
pull an Isaac Robb. Yeah.
His time slot is perfect for that because he can get up at, like, you know, whatever he wants.
Well, and he likes to get up at 7 a.m. It's weird.
No, he goes and golfs at 6. He gets the first tee time.
Man, I could never. I'm not a morning person. I don't know if, like, as I get older, I'll become a morning person.
I think it just happens no matter what. I don't know when it's going to happen to me, but eventually it will.
Just wake up to piss and then I don't go back to bed, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. But
I mean, I'm aging into, like, this hobby of golf, so I'm going to age into that soon, too. Right?
Eventually, yeah. So, but I'm excited, man. This is get out there and really get cooked. I'm getting the golf tan lines in the worst possible way. My arms are dark, and then my top of my arms are very white. My ankles, I have like a cut line from my short socks I'm not you freaking kids, Will.
Oh my god!
I'm an old man, dude.
Are you still wearing short socks? Ankle socks?
I have a variety of socks. My sock drawer, I play all of my players.
Yeah,
because
you try to act like you're still their age.
I've got some long socks.
Coward.
I got some short socks. I got some no-show socks. Sometimes I even don't wear any socks at all.
Well, speaking of golf tans, I think Will posted a picture yesterday on Twitter or X or whatever you call it that had the worst, just like you're talking about, Danny, with like, hey, have you seen a guy where he's been wearing a hat on the golf course all summer and he's got a white forehead? There was one spot on Will's left leg.
Not my
that
leg.
It was so white. It was crazy. Not your leg.
Not my leg. Okay. I would never have calves that little. Come on, man. I got stronger calves than that. That is my brother's calf. Mm. So if you have not taken a look at that, at Will Ortner.
Shame. I mean, it takes me, I don't look it. I'm Native American, so once I do actually get some sun, I will turn very, very tan. Like, if I get out, you know, by July, here the next couple of weeks, I will be pretty ready to go for the rest of the summer without getting burned. But, like, I have done that to myself several times. I did that in Hawaii, just did my honeymoon a month ago, came back, and my feet were very, very, like, it was just, like, red on the toes and then white in the middle part. Has that ever happened to you, where you get, like, the one burn because of the shoes or the type of clothing you're wearing?
No,
because
I had a buddy who, when we were in Mexico, we used to go to Mexico every year for spring break and then a bunch of time there in the summer. He actually got sunburns on his feet so bad that the tops of his feet blistered.
Oh, no.
And I don't mean like a little blister. I mean like a blister, like, you know, like honestly the size of a coaster. The tops of his feet had coaster size blisters.
About as close to a third degree burn as a second degree burn could be, is what it sounds like.
And you get the, you know, the sun poisoning and all that kind of stuff. Like, he literally could not walk for like 2 weeks. It was brutal. And so you will never, ever, ever, ever catch me with my feet uncovered in the sun. Ever.
You
ever.
Learned.
Like, even when I go to like the ocean, or, you know, my wife and I are going to the Mediterranean this summer, and I will have like either Crocs on or water socks or something. The tops of my tootsies, man, I will never, ever, 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 ever let that happen.
Totally random thought as we're talking about sandals and covering your tootsies. Don't wear open-toed shoes or sandals on an airplane. And here's why. If you crash, trying to run away from that plane in sandals as they melt is not a very good plan. Make sure you buy some shirts.
If the plane crashes, I'm going down, man, because I wear two things on planes. I wear sandals or I wear Crocs. I do not wear shoes.
You're anti this rule then.
No,
okay.
No, 100%.
Like a former pilot says, like, hey, here's how to protect yourself in this scenario.
Nope. If a plane goes down, I'm crossing myself, you know, whatever, putting my head between my legs, kissing my ass goodbye. Like, if we live, we live. If we don't, we don't. We are not blaming it on the Crocs and the sandals because, nope, I'm flying comfortable. And people are like, oh my God, you go bare feet through the airport? I'm like, yeah, dog, I've got freaking 5,000 hours on aircraft. I'm going to be comfortable. I wear the literal same thing every time I fly.
I mean, it's not about like smell or anything. I trust you to shower. There are other people that, actually, Ron White made this joke a long time ago, and it's perfect, that you should have when you go to the airport and you choose your seat, like, or you're doing that online, they should have like a little bio of every single person that's in that seat. You know, how often you shower, whether or not you brush your teeth, what kind of foods you like to eat. So you can pick and choose maybe who you're sitting around or, you know, but like, it's just, I don't know. It's not necessarily like the open-toed thing that makes me nervous. It's just,
it freaks some people out, but I'm just like, dude, just get over it, man. Like, my feet don't stink. We're fine here. Let's just keep this thing moving. But I do the same thing on every flight. It's basketball shorts, t-shirt, hoodie, hat, sunglasses. If I'm going somewhere where it's colder, then I'll, like, a baggy pair of sweats, and I'll kind of pull them up to the knees, kind of a deal, just because the plane always gets a little bit warmer. But, like, if I'm flying to Vegas, it is, I'm prepared to step off the plane into the oven and be totally fine. I want to be comfortable on the plane. Every time I see somebody, man or woman, like dressed to the nines on a plane, I'm just like, no,
I agree
no,
with you.
Get 1,000%. Wherever you're going to go and then change, because you never look good getting off a plane.
No, you look ruffled. All your nice clothing, if you're wearing a $900 suit, that's going to get folded the hell up. You're going to look terrible.
$900, $9, $9,000. It doesn't matter. If you're stuck in the freaking germ tube for a number of hours, like, I've been on trans-Pacific and transatlantic flights where people are wearing the most obscene clothes. Like, and I mean obscene, like multiple layered suits.
Oh, that's like, weird.
Get wherever you're going. Go to your hotel and change. Like, you're going to, like, no matter how comfortable the plane is, I've done the first class thing. Like, you're going to be sweaty and nasty and sticky. Your hair's going to be matted. Your skin's going to be oily. Like, it's no matter what you do, there's no getting out of this. And so the whole idea of, like, dressing up for a flight like it's the 1960s and, like, this is, like, the thing that you do, you put on a suit and tie to fly. It's like, no.
It actually wasn't that great back then. It looked great when you look at the videos.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, the planes were terrifying.
No, it was loud. Yeah. It was way scarier than it was now. No way.
You hit turbulence back then. You're like, oh, God, this plane might fall.
Yes.
Like, no.
Puff your cigarette harder.
Yeah, no. I want no part of that whatsoever. None.
I'm an aviation nut, so the open-toed shoes mentioned got me right into aviation. All right, that's our opening segment. We should actually spend some time, though, maybe talking a bit of sports, because despite the time of year, I know, Danny, it's kind of weird, like that point where NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, other than that, there's, you know, maybe a couple of great golf tournaments and baseball happening, but it's actually a lot busier. We've got some local news notes, some national news notes coming in that have local angles that we've got to dive into. So coming up, there is a trade proposal that is involving the Portland Trailblazers thrown out there in the last couple of days. It's a doozy in a good way. Wanted to get into that. Mm-hmm. We'll also walk you through one of the weirdest agreements I've ever heard of to sell a sports franchise. And no, this isn't the Portland Trailblazers yet. We're not breaking any crazy news or anything. You'd hear that out of Danny's mouth, not mine, too, because you're way more involved in that than me. So.
Yeah, no, this time of the year, we're less than 3 weeks out now from the NBA draft.
Yeah.
This is when things are going to start to heat up, both in the workout capacity, both locally and for every other team that's getting things done. It sounds like we're probably going to get some news on Giannis probably in the next couple of days.
Ooh.
And then
I was hoping that would drop today, selfishly.
Yeah, I had heard that we might hear by the end of the week, but it's probably going to go into the weekend. The way everybody's talking, it definitely sounds like it's probably going to happen. But once that domino falls, I've been talking to folks really over the last 48 hours. Everyone expects a ton of movement in the NBA over the next couple of weeks as we get into the NBA draft. So buckle up. Should be fun.
Ooh, yeah. Well, buckle up. Let's start with the NBA, actually. We got to unpack game one of the NBA Finals after the Pacers shocked the freaking world. Another comeback. Another one. They win over Oklahoma City last night. Game one. What a shocker. Danny and Schulte edition of Danny and Friends on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, I don't want to sound too cheesy, but... y'all, that was the stuff that dreams were made of last night. Like, the scenario that y'all dream of running through your mind as a kid, playing hoops in the driveway. Game one, NBA Finals. Down by one with the ball in your hands. A couple of seconds left on the clock. And then you sink a perfect shot to win the game. We've already seen that happen, what, three times now with Tyrese Halliburton?
Four.
Four coming into this.
Four
and now,
in this playoffs alone, he is having one of the most unprecedented runs of any player we've ever seen in NBA playoff history. And we have spent the past week, no matter who has been in here, talking about the Pacers being a team that have a chance in this series. And all of like the Thunder are going to win in five. And I'm just like, look, if the Thunder are going to win, the Thunder are going to win, whatever. They're a great team, and I'm not taking anything away from them.
Yeah.
But this whole idea that, like, we were just going to coronate them, you know, to go full Dennis Green, you know, crown them then. Crown them.
Crown their ass.
Like, it's like they are who we thought they were, kind of a deal, you know? Like, but the Pacers were not just going to be happy to be there. And they are the zombie Pacers. They're the children of the corn, if you will, in Indiana. And it's just, there's just, they do not die. And doesn't matter, like, the lead got up to, what, 15 in this game?
Yes, that was the highest lead.
And they cut it to 6 in the fourth quarter, and I tweeted out, here they come. And when you're within a couple possessions against this team, they just find a way. And despite turning the ball over, was it 25 times, 19 in the first half.
Unbelievable.
And so many of them, you know, we talk about pace and the things that the Pacers do, and OKC being a team that thrives in the chaos as well. I don't want to take away from the Thunder because they were doing things to force turnovers and make Indiana uncomfortable. But so many of the first half turnovers the particularly like the early ones from like Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin has three turnovers in basically like the first 5 minutes of the game, yeah. like when he gets on the floor. And I'm just like, good God, Obi, calm down, dude. So many of them were, you can give the Thunder credit for making Obi be erratic, but I think it was finals nerves. Halliburton, the mic'd up, caught him saying, yeah, I was a little antsy.
Well, neither team's been there before.
Pascal Siakam is really and Alex Caruso are the only guys that have been there in any real capacity.
And Rick Carlisle.
Yeah. And I'm sure Carlisle's over there to go and look, this is going to be different. Like, this crowd's going to have this juice and all these things. And
I think I heard him mic'd up say, hey, man, just play your game, guys. Mm-hmm. Just keep shooting your threes. They're not going in right now, but that's okay.
And, you know, when Will was in yesterday, one of the things we talked about, how can the Pacers win this game, win a game or win this series? And I said, they need to win game one. That's the game I think they're going to win. If they're going to do this, and because it's going to put OKC on the back foot. And a way that they do that is capitalizing on the thing the Thunder want to, not that they want to give up, but the thing that they're giving up by how they play defense. They pack the paint and they try to really limit drives and they limit good shots at the rim, but they're allowing more corner threes than any team in the NBA in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Pacers were 7 of 9 on corner threes in the second half. They found the thing that they want to do, that they can get to. Obviously, you had some incredible shot-making from Nembhard. Miles Turner banks in a three. Halley hits the 19-foot pull-up, with 0.3 seconds. That's the insane thing about this game. This basketball game is 48 minutes long. For 47 minutes, 59.7 seconds, the Oklahoma City Thunder led the game. The Pacers led the game for 0.3 seconds.
It's all they needed, but it's just unbelievable to actually, like, they had that game, the Thunder did in a Ziploc bag for 3.5 quarters, mm-hmm. essentially. I mean, it wasn't a huge lead, but
they never ran away, which is what the Thunder have done to teams. They just, once they get that lead, it's 10, it's 12, it's 15, it's 20, it's 25, and like, oh, this is over. With the Pacers, that's just not the case. They just find a way, and, you know, we talk about all these turnovers, and watching that game, I'm sitting there, going, they're forcing turnovers. They're not scoring because there's so many dead ball turnovers. And it's not, you're able to get back, set your defense. And for all the talk about how good Oklahoma City Thunder's defense is, and it is very good, not enough people were talking about how good the Pacers have been playing defense.
Yeah.
Like the Pacers defensively last night, you take a look at what they were able to do, you just kind of go quarter by quarter. Yeah, it's a 29-20 first quarter, but you had, how many turnovers did they have in the first quarter? Was it 14?
It was, I believe, 13 or 14, and then, yeah, 5 or 6 more, 19 total in the
next quarter, 28-25. The next quarter, 31-28. The next quarter, 35-25. You know what the Thunder did not have one of? A single 30-point quarter. The number three offense in the NBA. And we talked about this all week, and it's how good the Thunder are. But there's really only one guy for the Thunder who can get and create a shot every single time down the floor, that's SGA. And he's very good at it. And people are kind of being critical, I think, of him tonight, like from last night, taking too many shots.
I mean, I feel like that was kind of all Oklahoma City had, was SGA getting those looks.
The Pacers were going to say, we're not going to let the other guys. And that was the discussion we had yesterday. Which version do the Pacers go with? Do they force SGA to be the entirety of the offense and let him get his, get 38 on 30 shots? From just a math perspective, everybody's like, oh, that's too many shots. It's like 38 on 30 shots is fine. Like, do you want better? Sure. But you're averaging more than a point per possession on a shot. That's okay. Like, it's not great, but that's okay when you're talking about a volume guy. But nobody else shows up for him last night. Nobody else with any consistency. Chet was bad.
I mean, he only played 23 minutes. And actually, really quickly, Mark Daigneault only using him 23 minutes, Isaiah Hartenstein not that much more than him, or possibly even a little bit less. Like, it makes me wonder why you didn't interchange two of your best weapons, especially on the defensive end. Was it because you have that comfortable enough lead to where you don't think you have to make a difference or a change to make a difference on what's happening in the court?
That was the other thing we kind of talked about this week, was traditionally, as the playoffs go on, teams get bigger. They play bigger lineups. The Thunder kind of buck that trend and they play smaller. Now they came in with the first adjustment before the game even starts. Cason Wallace gets the start. So okay, that's how they're gonna go about this. Wallace is a hell of a defender. He's probably a better, more consistent offensive option than Caruso. I would have if I'm OKC and I'm Mark Daigneault, I'm probably looking at trying to get Caruso's minutes up more in game two because he just does stuff. Even if the quote unquote the shooting isn't there, I probably want Caruso on the floor a little bit more just because he's just better than Kaysen. That's the period point blank.
And you have made that adjustment game two? Or if like something didn't work and you didn't see what you wanted out of Caruso, like I feel like Dagenault made that switch a little too early. You responded to the Pacers before you even played them, essentially.
I think that's kind of what the Thunder have done, though. That's kind of who they are. They play all these lineups. What was really interesting is you take a look at how many guys played. I mean, you got five starters, you got six guys off the bench. Now, Kenrich Williams only played the one possession, but so you just say five. So they went 10 deep. Meanwhile, the Pacers go 10 deep in an NBA Finals in game one. Both coaches threw a lot against the wall, and I thought that was really interesting because both these coaches are guys who make pretty quick adjustments, but typically you don't see this kind of thing in the NBA Finals. So which direction does this go? How much, you know, as much as everybody's talking today about, well, if the Thunder just do this, and I'm like, what happens if the Pacers take care of the ball? Is this even a game? Do the Pacers run them out of the building if they take care of the ball?
I mean, nobody's taking care of the ball, though, against Oklahoma City.
But are you going to turn it over 25 times? This is a team that does not turn the ball over. And you can say, yes, Oklahoma City is great at doing that and turning a team over. Let's say the Pacers go out there and they have a 12-turnover game because the big difference tonight, or excuse me, tonight, last night, 82 shots to 98 shots. You're plus 16 in total field goal attempts. You are plus 3 in free throw attempts, 24 to 21. The only place that the Pacers had the advantage is in three-point shooting, and boy, was it huge. 11 of 30 for the Thunder, 18 of 39. So when the Pacers weren't turning the ball over, they were busy shooting 48, 46, 70. Meanwhile, the Thunder, even with all those additional possessions, shoot under 40% from the field, under 37% from the three-point line with lesser volume, but being more efficient at the free throw line. So if you give the Pacers back 10 possessions here and you continue the way they were shooting, this game's a blowout. So as much as everybody's sitting there like, well, if you're OKC, you've got to be like, you're not happy with the loss, but you just go, hey, look, we just got to capitalize on those points off turnovers. You flip that on its head, though. What if you aren't able to turn them over? What if the Pacers now have the jitters out of the way and the Pacers are the team that are going out there and their defense is dictating terms and they're making making somebody else other than SGA beat them, and they're like, fine, we're going to live with that. So that's you know, the mark of, you know, coming into this like, oh, you know, it's small markets and all this and it's the Thunder are going to win and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, instead, you got some of the best basketball. It was one of the best NBA Finals games I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, that was hands down. I mean, I could not get my jaw off the floor after that final shot by Halliburton. I was just like, that did not just happen for a fifth time again. Like, this is why I watch sports. My wife and I, man, it is so much fun just to watch a team or a game with two teams you don't have a rooting interest for, really, because you really get to enjoy the feel and the vibe of what happened last night. And none of us expected that. And I don't know. It was a pretty broken performance, I would say, by Tyrese Halliburton to that point. Pascal Siakam actually led the Pacers in points with 19. Talked about Obi Toppin hitting some of those threes. 17 total points, 5 three-pointers, and a couple of those corner threes. Yeah, that made the difference for the Pacers. But I will say, Miles Turner at 15, by the way. Halliburton and Nembhard each had 14. Halliburton did hit a couple of threes in the first half that seemed to keep the Pacers just right there. Yeah. Like, they were down by 10.
That's what they do.
Yeah, and then, okay, they're down by 7. It's okay. And they just kind of kept the Oklahoma City Thunder from being able to stretch that lead out. And Danny, I want to continue to talk about that, but more so talk about the impact that Rick Carlisle had on the game and examine what both teams are going to do going forward to try to make any adjustments. Have a lot of questions about that crazy NBA Finals game. Also going to talk about what Adam Silver said on NBA expansion before the NBA Finals started last night. So we'll get to both of those things coming up in the rest of the 12 o'clock hour. But first, here's Will with SportsCenter. I must say, a little selfish mention here, diehard Mariners fans freaking out on Twitter about the Oklahoma City Thunder's loss. It's pretty funny. We have nothing else to lean on, so it's nice to see something to be happy about because, wow, Danny, that game last night, game one, NBA Finals, 111-110 win for the Pacers over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Shocking for a team that, I mean, the Thunder coming into the NBA Finals, fifth time in NBA history, so they've obviously, as a franchise, well, okay, I don't want to say the fifth time total for the Thunder. Second time for the Thunder, the Sonics went three times, but that's another argument. 29-1 against the Eastern Conference Finals this season. They've got history as an organization. They were really good this year. People just put those things together, said, you know what? This rebuild, this record on the against the East and overall with 68 wins, that's supposed to equal domination coming into the NBA Finals this year. But the Pacers, man, pattern of late-game comebacks. I mean, is this the way that it's going to go, like, for the Pacers? Is this all they're going to need to do to win the NBA Finals and knock any thought about the Thunder's eliteness out of our minds?
I mean, a month ago, you know, we were talking about, like, are the Pacers a team of destiny? Because the shots that they hit first against, you know, the Bucks and then, you know, the Cavs, and it was like, it just kept happening and just kept happening. And it's really when I really started to buy into what the Pacers were doing. Like, I thought they were a good team, and I thought they would upset the Bucks in the first round. But it was like, okay, what else can they do? And then they've gotten better, and they've leaned even more into their identity. And there's something to be made of for the continuity of the team and the way that it's been built, and optimizing every guy that they have, and Rick Carlisle pushing all the right buttons. And we've talked about this a ton over the last couple of weeks. And just if Rick Carlisle and the Pacers can win this series, where Rick Carlisle falls among coaches in NBA history, I mean, one of four coaches to win a title with two different organizations, two entirely different teams, taking on teams that, you know, everybody thought were just going to steamroll them, you know, with the 2011 Mavericks. And you look at the path that the Mavericks took and who they beat to get to that. You know, they upset, or they don't upset, they take care of the Blazers in 2011, Brandon Roy's last game, kind of a situation that they go through just an absolute gauntlet to get the NBA Finals, and they take on the first version of the Heatles. And, you know, you've got Dirk having one of the best playoff runs we've ever seen. And then, I mean, you've got a team that's very veteran, very old. It's Jason Kidd, it's Jason Terry, it's Dirk, and it's just a bunch of Tyson Chandler, just a bunch of older dudes.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at this Pacers team now, it's incredibly young. And now everybody talks about how young OKC is. I mean, you look at this Pacers team, the two old guy or three old guys on the team is the guy that the Pacers have tried to basically trade for a decade, Miles Turner, who had a massive shot last night, banking in that three. I was so glad, by the way, that the Pacers were able to hit that shot and to have that opportunity, because I don't know how the hell Rick Carlisle calls for a review where Pascal Siakam clearly has a guy land on him and knock him out of bounds.
Do you think that was a foul?
Oh, God, yes.
I did not. I actually did not think that was a foul.
I 100% thought it was a foul.
I mean, it's the playoffs. You're both diving for the ball. It's incidental contact. There was not. It's either malicious or incidental, right? It's like that line between the two.
For me, when you're talking about any call in the NBA, is an advantage gained?
I personally didn't think so. I saw both people going for the ball. I understand what you're saying about them hitting each, like, he got hit hard, but the ball's flying out of bounds. Did they really gain an advantage, either one of them, by going for the ball in the way that they did? I did not think so.
If they both hit the ground in the middle of the court, there's nothing to call there. But there's an advantage gain because the Thunder gain advantage there because they get the ball because of the force of the contact knocking Siakam out. That's how I always look at that kind of stuff. But I'm glad that didn't end up becoming a point of discussion.
No, you're right.
Like,
you're right.
The night before in the Stanley Cup Finals, we get a penalty from Nosek, who just flips the puck over the boards when he's not under pressure. The puck's just bobbling up on him. He's just trying to fire it down the boards off the glass and get changed because he's been on the ice for 2 minutes at this point in time. He's just tired. And that's ultimately what ends up deciding the game. And it's like, don't get me wrong, overtime and having all that stuff, but I mean, having it basically kind of be decided by just that sucked. I didn't like that part of it. It was the only part about the game for the NHL side that I didn't like. And I didn't want the Thunder to get a basket out of that and be like, ugh, here we go. And have that be something we just litigate over and over and over again. But you take a look at all the different things that we saw last night. You know, yes, Tyrese Halliburton's going to get the credit and the love, and he deserves it for hitting an incredible, you know, 19-foot pull-up in single coverage. And I was listening to the Hoop Collective this morning. Brian Windhorst has Amon Shumpert on the podcast throughout the finals.
Love those guys.
And Shump was great where he, like, Wendy goes, you know, I really thought that the Thunder should have trapped there. And Shump's like, nah, man. That's NBA right there. They went head up. They went one-on-one. And Windhorst said something along the lines of, yeah, but he kind of played him for the drive. He's like, well, yeah, the player understands that it's a 1 point game and a two is enough. So you got to be able to take away the drive. And so you're not playing him necessarily for the step back. So him getting that pull up shot, that's just a professional shot. And, you know, Windhorst followed up with like, well, I would have blitzed, and Shumpert kind of hit him with those shots at the end of the game, though. No matter who it is, they just tend to go in when you leave somebody just butt naked, like those corner threes. So if you trap Tyrese Halliburton there, who is an incredible creator, and if you show two on the ball too early, now somebody is butt naked in the corner, and you have this opportunity to hit this shot, and now you're down two.
Yeah.
And it puts you – now you're down two with 0.3 seconds or whatever to go. So, look, I applaud actually both coaches for – playing it the way they did down the stretch and letting the guys kind of decide it and not, you know, forcing somebody else to do it. It's like, that's what you dream about as your kid, whether you're the offensive player or the defensive player. I'm head up on this guy with the game on the line in the NBA Finals, and you count it down, and it's man on man. And I thought that was just a really, really cool thing to see. But roll it back. You've got Nembhard, who, you know, the Thunder did an incredible job of face guarding Hallie early on, and Hallie, I think sometimes people give him the same kind of treatment, not necessarily the same because they're different levels of stars.
Yeah.
But LeBron early in his career got killed for giving up the ball in big moments because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, Hallie's getting face guarded and they're showing two a little early, or they're loading up on his side. So he gets off the ball and lets Nembhard cook. Nembhard just puts him in a blender. Hezzy, tween, tween, step back, pull up three. And you're just like, damn, okay, that's a big time shot, buddy. He's also getting the defensive task of picking up SGA on the other end. SGA got to his spot, 8 foot pull up, has a look, it isn't there.
Yeah,
and it's you know, like the little moments that showed up. And Nembhard comes down the floor after hitting that first pull up three, and he's feeling himself probably a little too much, leaves it off the front rim. But you've got Siakam there to clean it up and get the put back and have that opportunity. But like you saw the others, which this is not new for the Pacers. It is always the others. It's a T.J. McConnell. It's a Ben Mathurin. It's a Nesmith going 8 of 9 from three in a game. It's a Nembhard.
It's an Obi Toppin.
It's an Obi Toppin. Yeah. Like, we talk about depth in the NBA, and, you know, people are like, well, the Knicks should have played more guys. No, it didn't. Wasn't
they didn't
matter.
Have the guys anyways.
Not that, like the Pacers guys were better and deeper.
Exactly.
Like that's the Knicks roster is front loaded, where the Pacers is more egalitarian.
Do I want Landry Shamet, or do I want like Obi Toppin off the bench, or even T.J. McConnell? Frankly, I think I'd take T.J. McConnell.
I would.
Yeah.
T.J.'s a dude, man. Yeah. Like just take a look at this Pacers roster. In the way they go about things, and they have the utmost trust in basically damn near everyone. And it's not fake. It's not forced. You can just see it in how they play. And it's not just in this series. It's been in every freaking series that guys are empowered to do what they need to do when they need to do it.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't bit them because it's part of their ethos.
You talk about the adjustment that Rick Carlisle made, actually one of the two big decisions, I think, that he made in the second half that impacted the game. And I wanted to ask you about the second one, Danny. Obviously, the first one, putting Aaron Nesmith on the ball, allowing Tyrese to play off the ball a little bit, made a huge difference for the rest of that game. But listen to what Rick Carlisle said at the end of the game about the adjustments he had for his team at halftime.
There were different areas. I mean, they were getting to the rim a lot in the first half. The turnovers were the first thing that we talked about. You know, it seemed like we were doing a good job on the boards, but they had 20 more shots than we did in the first half. And so that was really fool's gold, too. And so, look, it was just, you know, hit the reset button. Let's go whistle to whistle in the third quarter, try to chip away at it and try to hang in.
I mean, I think the dude's a genius. As you said, Danny, he's already done this in the NBA Finals. If he does do this again, he will. I think I heard the point by Andrew Nemec that he will go up on the Mount Rushmore of head coaches in NBA
history. I mean,
in
the modern era, yeah. There's certainly a case to be made. Like, again, there are four coaches in NBA history who have taken multiple franchises to the NBA Finals and won. It is a short, short, short list because, again, I've belabored this point so many times. Coaching matters in the NBA, particularly at this level. When you're talking about the NBA Finals, that you will never hear an argument from me about. Like, making the right adjustments at the right time in the most packed moments, like, that matters.
Yeah.
But so much of it is getting buy-in and being a people person, which Carlisle struggled with toward in the last couple of years in Dallas. And from everybody I've talked to, is like he's softened. Like, don't get me wrong, he's still a red ass.
Yeah,
but he's softened up and he understands how to communicate with guys. And like, there's a trust between coach and player, and player and coach, that you're going to be empowered, you're going to be put in a position, and you can go out there and you can make mistakes. Like, Obi Toppin goes out there, he makes those mistakes. Carlisle pulls him like, hey, you need to simmer down a little bit. Thomas Bryant goes out there, makes some mistakes. He's like, okay, can't go with this any longer. Obi, I need you to chill. Get back out there, right? And it's just understanding the pulse of your team.
Yes,
but you have to have the players to do it.
Yes.
It's Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's. And most coaches just aren't blessed enough to have that opportunity with another organization. But you also have to give the coach credit for maximizing in those opportunities, which so far Rick Carlisle is continuing to do over and over again in these playoffs.
Yeah, supporting cast matters. And really quickly to wrap it up, Danny, I have to ask you, what did you think about the decision? Everybody's been talking about it, for Rick Carlisle not to call a timeout after that missed shot by SGA with, what,
Love
8 seconds
Love
to
it.
Go? Because he saw that the defense
they've
was off balance.
They've got
they're
an
not
advantage.
Ready.
I am a firm believer in not calling a timeout and letting a team sub and, you know, set their defense, especially when you've got Tyrese Halliburton, because that's what you pay him for. You gave him $270 million for that. That is what you pay that guy to do. You pay him to not only make and take great shots in big moments, but to find and make and take the best opportunity available. And that's what he did.
Love it. All right. I have no arguments with what you just said. Just did two segments of NBA Finals talk. I wish we could do more, but there's a lot of other stuff we have to get to today. But Pacers shocked the world. 111-110 win over the Thunder. The professional money that came in as the Thunder were announced as 9-point favorites, I think, immediately moved that line to 9.5. Man, all those bank accounts must be hurting today. And what's a minus 700 on the other side? Like, I don't know what the plus money was, but damn, all those people did really good.
Plus 450.
Oh, my God. Good for you. Congratulations. We'll actually get to some betting stuff here at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Dick Girardi joining us to talk about the Belmont Stakes coming up this weekend. But first, switch gears, talk a little college football. The Oregon Ducks got some bad news today. It's 1248 on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Happy Friday, everybody, unless you're an Oregon Ducks football fan. This actually really sucks. Breaking news this morning came through the wires via Pete Thamel on CBS Sports, although I do believe that Zachary Neal from Ducks Wire actually broke it first. Like, I hate when the local guys don't really get the credit. Like, it's always to the national guys. I get it. That's who has the biggest following on Twitter. But I saw it from Pete Thamel, saw it from Zachary Neal. Evan Stewart, Oregon wide receiver, out for most likely the entire season coming up here in 2025. One tweet specified a knee injury. Will Ortner and I were looking before the show, saw one other tweet said a torn patellar tendon, which that is the tendon to the kneecap. I've dislocated my kneecap, so I haven't torn the tendon, but like that S hurts, and I feel like it's not as easy to recover from as like an ACL injury, but Evan Stewart down for the year. That's a huge blow to Oregon's offense. Dan Lanning is essentially now with a new quarterback under center for them, and Dante Moore leaning on a five-star recruit in like DeCorian Moore and other guys to step up in the wake of Tez Johnson and Trayshawn Holden leaving. Evan Stewart was supposed to fill that hole in production, Danny, and I don't know. Me as a Ducks fan, it definitely nips at my craw a little bit today. It's like, that sucks. That's not good news.
Look, I know people are going to think, oh, here's the anti-Duck guy, but this team, while they're loaded with stars in the sense of like recruiting stars,
yeah.
You're talking about a team that's turning over a quarterback situation where you went from quite literally the two most experienced quarterbacks in college football history.
Yes, sir.
Dylan Gabriel and Bo Nix have more games, more snaps than anybody else that's ever played the game. That is, to replace that already is a big ask. You're replacing three linemen on your offensive line. Your wide receiver room, you're looking at Evan Stewart kind of being that guy. Yes, you're getting Gary Bryant Jr. back, and he's been a part of the program for a long time. That's great. But the one guy that you're kind of relying on that side of the ball to be the guy that helps the changeover is Evan Stewart. And yes, you've got, you know, the number one wide receiver in the country in DeCorian Moore, like depending on how which recruiting system you look at, he's one of the guys in this class. The best freshman wide receiver in the country last year went for 900 yards.
Yeah.
Which, again, is great. And we're going to be talking about him in the NFL very soon. But asking that guy to be your number one guy was never going to be on the table. That just doesn't. True freshmen, just as great as they can be when you have just an absolute freak, it's just not the same level as a guy. It's in year two, year three, year four, whatever.
It's a crapshoot. It went well at Alabama and Ohio State. It didn't go well, I think, at Texas A&M. Their freshman wide receiver recruit just didn't do well.
And so you're changing over your quarterback. You're changing over most of your offensive line. You're changing over most of your wide receiver room. Like, so you just, like, as much talent as they have, you know, I think the Ducks, their over-under line is 10.5 wins. I take them at 10, and people are like, oh my God, how dare you? They were the Big Ten title winner, and you know they were undefeated until the playoffs. Well, like, that's not the same team coming back.
No.
Like, and it's like, well, Ohio State did this, and Alabama did this. It's like, you aren't them yet. And then that's okay, and you're probably going to be really good. I just said you're probably going to win 10 games. You're a really good team. You're winning 10 games in the second best or best conference, depending on how you look at it in college football. That's still a really good team.
I mean, does that get you to the conference playoff or the conference championship in the college playoff?
I don't know. Like, Ohio State's running back. Like, the great problem that Oregon had is they sent more players to the NFL this year than they've ever sent before.
Yeah.
But that also means you're replacing so many guys. And the same question is true of Ohio State. That's why so many teams or so many people are looking at Penn State to be the Big Ten favorite. Because they're returning a crap ton of guys.
Yeah.
And they're returning their quarterback. Now, I'm not a Drew Aller guy, but they're one of the only like big teams in the conference returning their quarterback, their running backs, their offensive line. Like they have more coming back and more stability And now you're going to lose a guy that could really hurt you as far as being not necessarily the gap year guy, but the guy that transfers from the era that was very rich in talent and also experience into a much more experienced group. I'm not saying they can't win 11 games. They can't win 12 games. Just a likelihood because of the inexperience. The next time Dante Moore makes a throw in a game that matters will be the first time.
You're right. UCLA's freshman year, not great for him. I mean, go look at the film. Like, it's like, oh, he looks really good at some points, and then at other points,
look,
he looks like
he's
lost.
Look, I think Dante's going to end up being a good quarterback.
He'll be okay.
He could end up being great.
Yeah.
But typically, you gotta earn your stripes. You got to get your bumps. And not having a guy to be able to fall back on, rely on, it does put them behind the eight ball, so to speak.
Yeah, it's once again, putting a lot more pressure not only on Dante Moore, but the other guys like Justice Lowe. You mentioned Gary Bryant Jr. Jurion Dickey, obviously, somebody that's coming back. I think you need to lean on Kenyon Sadiq a little bit more. He needs to kind of have that label of baby Brock Bowers really come true and be that Swiss Army knife for the Oregon Ducks this year. Now, especially without Evan Moore. This just sucks. I think we got to go. Like, we're up against the hour. I could continue to bitch about this, but I just don't think it's good for my mental health because that was a big blow. I honestly agree with you, Danny, that the Ducks probably now, at this point, are sitting around a 10-win projection just because of the new players they are installing everywhere. Their offense, yes, they have some guys coming back, but there's a lot of holes on their offensive line, and obviously now the wide receiver room just... totally different look. Brutal start to not even the year yet. Sucks.
Them's the break. So much if we talk about it, whether it's basketball or football, luck. And a big part of luck is health. And, you know, I hate seeing this for Evan Stewart. I was hoping, you know, he'd be a guy that could come out there because he's a hell of a fun player to watch.
Yeah.
But, it's super unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm a little scared this changes the ceiling for the Ducks, Danny. You're probably right. All right, coming up next, the Belmont Stakes happening this weekend. We're going to bring on longtime horse racing insider Dick Girardi to break it all down. It's a Danny and Schultz edition of Danny and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.